All right.
You ready?
You know, yesterday night I told you I had a two-part message, so we're going to have two sessions this morning. Hope you're ready for it. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. I'm going to read from verse 16. Rejoice evermore, Paul says. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It means in everything, in your prayer. That's what he's saying. Not in everything, when you commit sin, give thanks. That's not what he's saying. He's saying in your prayer, you give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Just like Philippians 4 and 6. He says, be careful for nothing, but with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Colossians 2:4-2 says you continue in prayer and also with thanksgiving. So you find that that's just the same format Paul uses here. 19 now says, quench not the spirit. And that becomes an instruction for us today and in the years to come. And I'm saying this for those of you who associate with me, those of you who are members of Saints Community Church, pastors and leaders who associate with me, who are my friends, colleagues all over the world. I have a word from the Lord to you. And it's from what Paul just wrote in here. Quench not the spirit. Now, obviously, in Bible translation, oftentimes you have words that may need us to rejig. It doesn't mean you can quench the spirit. And if I were to translate that, I would have added something more to make it clear what Paul was saying. The spirit, obviously, is the resurrection of Jesus and his indwelling. You cannot quench that. But the word quench is an old Greek word, spedunmi. You know, somebody once laughed at me somewhere. He said, even the way you pronounce Greek is like Yoruba. He's an American, so I understood him. And he studied Greek, you know, and all that. I said, you just your pronunciation. I said, well, fine, I got the spelling right. I may not get the pronunciation right. You know, S, W-B-E-N-U, W-N-U-M-I. Now, that word is used for fire or something that is in motion. Fire or something in motion. That is, we are going to see the intent of this instruction in a moment. Something that is already in motion. In Matthew's Gospel 12 and 20, that word is used for a fire that, Matthew 12 and verse 20. Smoking flax shall not quench till it send forth judgment unto victory. Smoking flax shall not quench. Matthew 25 and verse 8. Matthew 25 and then verse 8. Matthew 25 and verse 8. For our lamps, it says, are gone out or quenched. That means it was on before, then it went out. You see it again in Mark 9:44-46, Mark 9:44, again verse 46 and verse 48. But precisely, look at Hebrews 6:16. Ephesians 6:16 first, then Hebrews 11:34. Ephesians 6 and 16. There's Paul. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, that means it's an ongoing assault. An ongoing assault. In Hebrews 11 and 34. Hebrews 11 and 34. Why don't you see the significance of that statement? 34. Quench the violence of fire. So, it's used for fire or something in motion. Fire. So, a better translation should have been, do not put out the fire of the Spirit. Do not put out the fire of the Spirit. Now, fire and symbols like that are used for what the Spirit of God does. When you say, like a dove, it didn't mean a dove was seen. It just means an effect of a work. Water, for example, is not the Spirit. Water is to symbolize the work of the Spirit. So where you have, quench not the fire of the Spirit, It means that Paul is giving a caution to Thessalonica here. That means the things of the Spirit were already known by this local church. There's no way you can be a local church overseen, or that Paul oversees or founded, and not be taught in the things of the Spirit. It's impossible. So when he says, quench not, it means that there are certain things that maybe the church was already becoming lukewarm about. They weren't as passionate as they should have been, or they had been about it. Quench not the fire of the Spirit. In other words, we have a responsibility to ensure that the fire of the Spirit is maintained in our local assemblies and also in our lives. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And he tells us how it's going to happen. If it's the Spirit of God, if it's God, he will do it anyhow. Some say, if it's the Spirit of God, he will do it anyhow. If it's God, why do I need to participate in it? If it is God, God will do it. God, and nobody can stop him if he wants to do it. You know, quite some ignorance. There are instructions in Scripture that shows you that your disobedience can stop what God is doing. And this is one of it. It says, quench not the fire of the Spirit. Hallelujah. See, I choose not to put out the fire of the Spirit. How does it happen? Paul tells us how that can happen. He says, despise not. So you have quench not and what? Despise not. Quench not and despise not. The second word here, despise, is the word exothoneo. Exothoneo. It means, exothoneo, it means to regard less. It doesn't mean that you don't talk about it. It doesn't mean that you don't even see it. But it is not of topmost priority to you anymore. That's the word despise. You know how you bought Nokia 3310. You know you have it then. You had it then? Some of you don't know what it is. Nokia 3310. My very first mobile phone was a talkabout. That's to be Motorola talkabout. It was blue and black. And I was so bushy. I put the phone right in the cabin. I'll use it and put it back. Because in the entire building then, I think I was the only one that had it. So I made the phone call, and I put it back in the car. So yeah, you know, my phone. Just 2 years after, that phone looked like, you know. And today, if you see the same phone, you just look at it. You see, but it's not of value to you anymore. It's there. It's probably with you. You just have despised it. So the word despise means something you no longer value. You no longer place value on it. And you see that phrase used precisely in this light. Luke chapter 18 verse 9. Where you despise. Look down. To look down on something. Luke 18, 9, Luke 13, 11. Remember that story of the Pharisee and the publican. He looked down. And the guy felt, who is this one? Who is talking? And then you're talking. You know, and that's the way he saw it. He despised others. The righteous. Who is talking? I'm not like this person. You know, Luke 13, 11. Acts 4, 11. The stones that the builders rejected. The ones they despised. You just reject something, to despise it, not to treat it with respect. Romans 14, 3 and 10 talks about not to despise brethren that don't have the same persuasions as we do. 1 Corinthians 1, 28. Paul, speaking about the wisdom of God in the gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 1 and 28, Paul says, the basins of the world, the things that are despised, God had chosen. The things that don't have respect amongst people. God has chosen it. 1 Corinthians 6 and 4, where Paul talks about judging people, and 1 Corinthians 16, 11. You see Galatians 4, 14 as well. And Paul says, I came, and then because of the weakness of my body, and he says, have you despised me? Galatians 4 and 14. In other words, this is something we treat with less regard. Not anymore. Not anymore. It's something that was, you were passionate about. Passionate about it. Suddenly, you were no longer passionate about it. You do it, you know, when you have time, but it doesn't have the same priority that it used to have. Quench not the spirit. Despise not. Despise not. There are people, for example, who never will have missed this convention. But now, it's convenient for them to do it. I told someone years back. I said, you missed the meeting. He said, yes. It was a church service. I said, and you didn't feel bad. Something has gone wrong. He said, Pastor, you know, I said, watch it. Down the years, you are going to leave the church. I didn't see any vision. It's just the natural consequence of it. And the person did. Because you started despising it. You started thinking you had outgrown it. Not that what was being done had changed. You just felt you had outgrown it. That what's about this? I'm now a more mature Christian. I don't go out in evangelism like that. You know, that was when I was a younger Christian. No, the reason is you despise something. And you are quenching the fire of the Spirit. Don't despise it. And it's so interesting sometimes that the things that we thought we had outgrown, we will now see people very passionate about them. And then in our hearts we start feeling guilty, then we start criticizing them. It's sin consciousness. Hallelujah. So I was criticizing a long time of praying. I said, but you were an example of this for us. What happened? Did you outgrow it? He said, no, I just feel that it was an extreme. Extreme? What is the extreme? Why would Christians pray, be praying for 6 hours, 8 hours? What's that for now? That's the tone of somebody who is drunk. He has lost his mind. What kind of a comment is that? You know, one day I saw a picture on social media. Guys went to watch, I think it was a baseball game, or maybe American football or something. And they sat there in the snow. Right in the snow. You find people in cold regions of the world, maybe United States of America or Russia, they're going to walk in the snow. And they were ready, 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and they're going there. They get into trains, 3 hours to get to work. If you get into that kind of winter jacket and you're in the snow, you're going to church and say, for what now? Just use your phone. Why? You've started despising the gathering of believers. You are quenching something. You are putting out a fire by not giving regard to it. Now, when I talk like this, people assume that I don't like the church or the ministries online. That's silly. We're right now online. You know, but this should never take the place of your local church. Never. Never. You cannot sit at home and say, well, there's no church around the body of Christ that is fitted for me. Maybe you are not in the body of Christ at all. Maybe you are not in the body of Christ at all. You know, you cannot do that. So a passion has gone. And I do this for myself. Often, I'm going to talk about this in the second session. But oftentimes in leadership, when you get into leadership, which actually is servanthood, you start to feel above certain things. No, you are actually despising what you should be doing. You are above it now. I'm above it. Not because of the word of God, but because of your status. And so, in quenching the spirit or the fire of the spirit, The way to note it is how you despise it. How you despise it. Back then you hear a prophecy. You're already speaking in tongues. You hear a prophecy, you're speaking in tongues. Now you hear a prophecy, you're going, you haven't checked your phone. Glory. You don't listen to anything. You just know the teleguided response. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Boss, I'll call you back. I'll call you back. You are backsliding. So I'll say, I don't believe Christians can backslide. You are right. Just like you. You have done backflip. He says you despise it. When you despise it, you put out the fire of the Spirit. You put it out. Watch the things you used to value and you no longer value. Hallelujah. Remember those times you always, when you were in university or the polytechnic, you always went to a particular person's room. Probably you even stayed over there. That wasn't your room, but you stayed over there. You know why? Because you guys would spend time praying. You spend time studying the scriptures. Now, you think you have outgrown that. So you are looking for your high net worth friends. You are now more comfortable with guys who are upwardly mobile. You know, guys that when you clash in the place with your cars, angels just say, my God! You know, we've moved up. These are prophecies fulfilled. They gave us his word when we were in school. Your backsliding is smelly. You are despising it. Counsels that are given to you by the word of God. In those days you get counsel, you are broken. You are broken. And you are contrite. And you say, wow, thank you for this counsel. I take heed. And you begin to pray over it. Now you start arguing. But that's not the way it was. See, I understand what you are saying, but then really, you have lost value for something. And you know, we're in an age of media where sacred things are becoming secular. Secular things are becoming secret. How would a Christian, I tell some pastors, if you have a pastor that is always responding to the media, you don't have a pastor yet, you have a newscaster. I saw some folks, something happened, and then they were writing to the body of Christ, I felt. Why would the social media make you write to the body of Christ? I, Paul. Concerning the things going on Facebook, I write concerning thee. Didn't you have something to preach before? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Even some younger elements. I wonder, who is this one talking to? I'm concerned about the body of Christ. I'm concerned. The media has really made a whole lot of... Praise the Lord. Lord have mercy. Don't despise things. Don't despise instructions. Don't despise a prayer life. You know how you wake up in the morning, you got to work before praying, and you felt, wow, I missed that 1 hour, I missed that 2 hours. And you felt, my God, I need to get back to praying today. Then you get back praying. That means you respect that person. Suddenly you started getting to work, you didn't pray, you just said, just mumble some things and come, thank you, Father, hallelujah, what a great day. Ooh, I see myself just as you see me. To cover up what you have not done, I think of me just like you think of me. That song is not to cover up your laziness. You are lazy. Go and pray. Hallelujah. Hope you are learning something. Very good. So don't despise it. So what is the counter instruction? It says prove all things. The word prove there, you know, some people have used it not knowing what Paul meant. He started by saying don't despise, don't put out the Spirit's fire by not despising. Then he says prove. And the word here, dokimazite in the Greek, which is the way he used in the present tense continuous, from the word dokimazo, D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. is used 22 times, and it depends on the context. Now, pay attention here. In Romans 12 and 2, when Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your minds, that you may prove. In other words, you may test. You may put to work that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It means you may put it to practice. So the word prove is also used for putting things into practice, where you put it to work. Same thing, Romans 14:22. To prove it. Romans 14:22, yep. Romans 11:28. Is that what I meant? Okay. 2 Corinthians 8:8 precisely. 2 Corinthians 8:8. 2 Corinthians 8:8. See this? Paul says, I speak not by command, but by occasion for your fathers, and to prove the sincerity of your love. In verse 22, Paul says, we have sent them our brother, whom we have sometimes proved diligent in many things. We have seen him to be diligent by practice. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. That is, make a practice of it. Find this out yourself. Philippians 1 and 10. I want us to read that. Philippians 1 and 10. Paul, let's go. Let's start from 9. Philippians 1 and 9. Let's go. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Let's take 10 together. That you may approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense. That, in other words, you may practice things that are excellent. Also, 1 Timothy 3 and 10, where Paul talks about, you prove the deacon. Prove the deacon. 1 Peter 1, 7, the trial of our faith. The 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4, which is in the same book that we just read, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4. We are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. He says, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God that proves our hearts, that tries our hearts. In other words, what Paul is saying is this. Don't despise prophecies. Put it to work. Prove all things. Make a practice of it. Acknowledge it. And hold fast to that which is good. What is that which is good? Prophecies. Prophesies. Hold fast to it. In other words, you have a responsibility to hold fast to the things of God, committed to your trust. Things are not going to just happen. You are going to be fervent about them. You are going to be diligent about them. You are going to be zealous about them. Let's bring this home. Don't despise prayer. I'm saying praying always. Look at the instructions in scripture. It's all over the scriptures. Romans 12:12. Be instant in prayer. Romans 12:12. Be instant in prayer. Philippians 4:6. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. In prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Ephesians 6 and 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2 and 3, same thing. So you have enough instruction to always pray. So I say, it's not in the length of prayer, it's in the quality of the prayer. Can you imagine that? You are told to pray always, it's not in the length of prayer. No, it's in the shortness of it. Always means that you don't stop doing it. Hallelujah. Don't despise praying. Don't despise praying. Never get to a point in your life or ministry where prayer is in the background. It now becomes an event that you are praying. Brethren, you know next month is our time of prayer. So put it in your diary, 14th of December, 4 o'clock, to 6, we are going to be praying. Hallelujah! Eh? That's not praying always, so. That's praying as you like it. You must not despise prayer. Don't despise the preaching of the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Hallelujah. Preach the word. So I was boasting one day. He said, I've done all this before to teaching for long hours. He said, everlasting gospel. He said, but now, there's no need. We now speak the revelation of it. Hey! You are vastly dim. I saw Kenneth Copeland, who is 83 years old, teaching just last year, about 8 hours. And he wasn't sitting down. You know, he began something recently about push-ups. Did 20. So I began to do 3 times a day. He's 83. Praise the Lord. And we are preaching 8 hours, 6, 8 hours. Brother Hagin, till the day he passed on, was found teaching every day. Why you say, that was when I was young. Once I was young, and now I am very old. I now give prophetic word. No. Don't despise it. Hallelujah. Paul says, I charge thee before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appearing. 2 Timothy 4:1. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Instant in season and out of season. He says you should reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, patience and doctrine. For the time will come when people will no longer endure sound doctrine. He says they will have itching ears, hip-hop teachers after their own laws. They will turn from the truth of the fables. He says, but you make full proof of your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. You cannot afford to say because people are getting tired in Bible teaching, so you should get tired too. No, you fire them up. The pastor is supposed to be an example, not to follow the flock. You teach them what to do. Hallelujah. You all are going to school. How many of you picked the school times? You were just dumb there. Your first excitement when you got to the university was great. By the time the lectures overcame your soul, started feeling, can we not do this thing online? But you went anyway. Hallelujah. Preach the word. Be instant in season out of season. Don't despise the teaching of the word. Don't despise walking in love. Walking in love should be something you do all the time. Ephesians 5:1. He says, be followers of God as their children. He says, you walk in love. You walk in love. The love of God is the nature of our spirit. Romans 5:5, oh, make it not ashamed. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that was given to us. Don't despise it. Sometimes you may look very stupid, you know, when you walk in love. But don't despise it. Don't let somebody call you stupid. No, well, that is Bible. Someone told me that is Bible. Let us talk justice. A Christian. How can you, a preacher of the gospel, be high on judgment? So I said, but God is a just God. See, your mind is not good. See, justice doesn't always mean punishment. Justice can also mean setting things right. God's righteousness is his justice, where he puts things the way they ought to be. When a sinner is made a saint, that is justice. Your idea of justice is wrong, if you think that way. Where a sinner is made a saint, that is God's justice. Hallelujah. And where a sinner doesn't want to be made a saint, it is also God's justice. So you walk in love. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Also, don't despise Demonstrations of the Spirit. Reverend Mark Hankins says, something I posted on my Facebook this morning. He said, when Spirit-filled pastors start copying the patterns of non-Spirit-filled churches, the things of the Spirit will be lost in the assemblies. You have to watch the things you follow. Hallelujah. I say it often, go ask our pastors. We do not look at people's ministries. Particularly when we don't even believe in what you believe. See, this is how they do their programs. They do it on Friday evenings. We don't have such meetings. If your message is not okay with us, your pattern can never be okay with us. Never. If what you believe is not okay with us, there's nothing we have to do. Taking nothing of the Gentiles. Nothing. Hallelujah. Time is coming. It has come. When those built on the word will be distinct in everything that they do. Don't feel bad when you are distinct because of the word. Don't feel bad. It's because of the word. Someone asked me, say, but yeah, even the mode of worship, why don't people clap in your services? Did they hold your hand? Nobody held your hand. But we teach from the word that in the Bible, clapping is not praise, it's not worship. Simple. That's not extreme. No, it's not extreme. It's Bible extreme. That's what's in the Bible. Hallelujah. Are you saying now that everybody is wrong? Nobody has said that. We just said it's not in the Bible. So simple. Hallelujah. You must be a person of conviction. So you used to value New Testament worship, as we call it then. Rejoicing in the Spirit. Now you no longer value it. So there's a laugh in the Spirit. You just go, like he told you to come and take picture. Is that a laugh? Yeah, somebody will make a joke. And so he took the calabash, broke it on his neck. So, can you see your life? A joke. You go, don't give me joy, don't give me. In church, joy. You go, put your hands in your funny pocket. You're a big boy. Your tummy shows that you have many ways to put aside. Glory. Oh, your name is glory. You are not a man of God. Glory. 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 You say, we rejoice at Galilee. People are running. You say, woo. Glory. Glory. Jesus rejoiced. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He rejoiced in the Spirit. Woo! Sit down. Sit down. I learn to be like Jesus in my life. In my life. Rejoice, y'all. Woo! Woo! Spirit, go it. Woo! Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Woo! Woo! Sit down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Let go, said, man, the apple. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Sit down. Bravo como puse. Ningo puse frike. Degegando guido gigractes kibia. Lo she pa kenge gigababa bro. Medido. Mechus. Prenga. Luga bruce. Nepra. Mindos. Yeah. There's that touch. That touch. Passionate touch. Of the Holy Ghost. Which will increase both in your meetings and in your communities, in your nations. Yeah, in your nations. Wow, wow, wow. In your nations, that fervency, that contagious things of the Spirit, where people will walk into the assembly untaught, yet they'll catch it. Unlearned, yet they'll catch it. The explanations will come after. And then you have them catch it, get a hold on it, getting on it. Go there, big gang, go goose, get scooty cook, manganga to so, a robo brea, mangan, hang your mo brea high, and you know, no get for susu, bobo, ba, a gagulo to so, leko, ne, ya, do, gizo, ho, back, no, can ya, do, ha, 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 I'm on the road, eh? There on the car. Back on the road. Woo! We don't outgrow this. We don't outgrow this. Woo! Aboka. Remind us. Reminders bring freshness. Reminders bring renewal. Go back to some tapes. Hear them again. Go back to some sessions that you were in and watch it again. Go back to those teachings that stirred you up and hear it again. In reminders are renewals and freshness. Remind yourself again and again. See it again and again. And you find yourself, do it again, and even better. In prayer, in praise, in the stirrings of the Spirit to preach and teach the gospel, in healing the sick, in walking in love, in walking in God's purpose and plans. Let there be reminders, and in those reminders will come renewals of the things that you are stuck doing, sometimes without knowing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sit down. You know, that puts me into remembrance of something. You know, for about 10 years, I suppose, or more, there's this particular teaching of Brother Higgin that I listen to every camp meeting, every believers convention, those two precisely, for well over 10 years. And those of us who are with me in the protocol will see it. The same thing. Sometimes I just tell them, excuse me. we're ready to go. Just excuse me. I just listened to it again. You know, I know everything there. But it's just to keep you in reminding of those things. Sometimes you do that. You know, to put yourself in the right order. The right order. So don't despise those things. Don't despise those things. Don't despise those things. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't despise those things. Don't outgrow it. And don't yield to the world. Don't yield to the world. Don't yield to the demands of the world that you suddenly outgrow those things. No, don't do it. Don't follow the wrong models. I'm writing this down as instructions that I put down. Don't outgrow these things. Remain a babe in the things of God. What I mean a babe? Someone who is innocent. Someone who his heart is tender and open to keep receiving from God. Don't yield to the world. And don't yield even to ministry demands such that you don't have time anymore. Sometimes some of us could be so engaged in ministry. And you're trying to do the drums well. You're trying to take care of security, organize the finances of the church and the church building projects and all of those things. And then you forget the things that are more important. You're no longer contending for the word. Your teaching ministry has reduced because you are doing building projects. You are more focused on media than the word. You know, I tell a young minister, you just started in ministry. You start building media team. You're not even particular about what you are teaching and what you are practicing. There's no hurry. Build your conviction strong first. I know the temptation is because some of your colleagues or age mates are doing it. Life is not like that. Serving God cannot be like that. Can't be like that. It can't be like that. No. Hallelujah. The demands of ministry can make you despise the fire of the Spirit. Ensure that you put priority in the right place. So, you must follow the right models. Don't follow the wrong models. Follow the right models. The right ones. Let's examine something quickly. You know, as we end this session. You know, Jesus made us see that when it comes to the power of the Holy Ghost and the things of the Spirit, that we have a part to play. In John's Gospel 20 and 22, he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Receive. It's a verb. In Luke 24, after he had told them, in Luke 24, 44, "These are the words that I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened you the understanding, verse 45, that they might understand the scriptures. 46 says, "And those written is fulfilled, the Christ will suffer and raise from the dead the third day." And 47 says, "Repentance and remission of sins will preach in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And 48 says, "You are witnesses of these things." Look at 49. He says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high." Endure. It's a verb. You have to put it on, he says. Acts 1:8. "You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come on you." That word "receive" is not a passive word. And oftentimes in New Testament Greek, it's a present tense continuous word. It's the word to take. To take. You know, when I say receive, and I put something on your phone, maybe I sent something to your phone, you received it. You didn't do anything. Maybe just to put it on your phone. But when I put something somewhere, maybe I put money on the table, I said, "Go and take the money." That means it is your call. That's the word "receive." Take it. "You shall take up power, after which then the Holy Ghost comes upon you." That's why on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1-4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, verse 2, rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were seated. Verse 3 says, and then appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That means they received it. That's why in 33 and 34, Peter says, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having we now received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. He has set forth this, which you now see and hear. When they asked him, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, 38. For the remission of sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You will take it. That is, when there's forgiveness of sins, then the gift of the Holy Ghost is available. Acts 2, 38 and 39. When Philip went to Samaria and preached, and the apostles received word, the Samaria had received the word of God, Acts 8, 14. They sent down Peter and John that they might pray for them and they might receive the Holy Ghost. For he was falling on none of them, they were only baptized in the name of the Lord. That they might take off. Take off. So it's a consistent, continual instruction to take off. In Acts 10, Peter preached, the Holy Ghost fell on them that believed, or heard the word. For those that repeated the constitution were astonished that upon the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They took it. Cornelius' household, they took it. Acts 19. Paul, on the coast of Ephesus, he saw certain disciples in verse 2 and he asked, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we have not heard whether any of the Holy Ghost. Said, unto what then were you baptized? Said, unto John's baptism. And Paul answered and said to them, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Jesus. When they heard this, verse 5 says, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. 6 now says, and Paul laid his hands on them. He laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. In other words, you have a responsibility to take of the deposit of the Spirit that is available unto you. In doing this, you must be fervent about it. In doing this, you must be consistent about it. Never get to a point, I'll close here, never get to a point where in your life and ministry, the things of the Spirit become lethargic. Praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, rejoicing in the Spirit, or evangelism. Yielding to the Spirit. You must be passionate. You must be passionate about the things of God. Quench not the Spirit. Watch the things you watch that quench the Spirit. Watch the things you see that quench the Spirit. You know, it's okay to mock something you don't know. It's not too okay, but it can happen. But to mock what you have known well because you are no longer passionate about it is a disgrace. A brother once was mocking the power of God and I asked him a question because I knew him in the 90s. I said, but remember, you and a certain brother, you went out to preach the gospel. And in front of the university gate, a fellow who had never walked, or maybe had not walked for a long time, you laid hands on him, began to walk. He said, I don't want to talk about that yet. I said, no, you have to talk about it. Did you stage it? He said, no. That means he was healed. He said, yes. I said, admit that something has gone wrong with you. Sometimes we're not careful of the things that we watch. either on YouTube, on Facebook. You must guard your heart. Guard your heart from things that will make you despise the things that you value. Guard your heart. Quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. Guard your heart. There are some wise statements that are demonic. There are some lovely things being said that are demonic. I'm saying this to some of you who are watching me here. Some of you are even in this auditorium. You have replaced passion for souls for charity. You have missed it. You have replaced that passion you had for the power of God for intellectual discussions. You have missed it. It's time to get it right. And get it right. When you started that church is in Ikeja, and other churches like that in different countries and states, what was in your heart was to breed men and women filled with the Spirit, passionate about the move of God. But that has changed. You must get it right now before it's too late. And I'm speaking to you, this preacher. You are about to begin a campus ministry. You have not started your plan 2020. And I want to tell you, you cannot afford to do that. Because God's going to judge it. Go back to where you are falling. It may take you to admit it, but do it. Before it's too late. Never lose that passion. Don't. What I just said now is not just for one person. It's for more than one person. I even see about 5 preachers that I'm talking to. Hallelujah. You see, when it comes to ministry, you lay down your own thinking. You take God's plan. So, I want us to all make a consecration before we end this session. The next session is going to start almost immediately. To build according to God's pattern. To walk according to His plan. To have ministries, churches, our individual lives, full of the Word, yielding to the Spirit, passionate about prayer, evangelism, walking in love, the move of God in the nations of the earth. Bow your heads and pray. Just bow your heads and pray. Bow your heads and pray.